This morning, I'd like to speak about baptism. Now, you might wonder, why would I speak about baptism on Trinity Sunday? Well, if you think about it a bit longer, you'll recall that when we baptize, we always baptize in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We baptize in the name of the Trinity. And not only that, but through our baptismal union with Christ, we believe that we begin to share here on earth in the very life of the Trinity, in the very life of God Himself. And so baptism is bringing us into a relationship with this God of ours, this God of ours who is Father, who is Son, and who is Holy Spirit. We do this through the gift of the Spirit that is given us. Now, theologians talk about the Holy Spirit as the bond of love between the Father and the Son. A bond of love that is so intense, so deep, that it actually becomes another person within the Godhead. Now, baptism gives us a sharing in this Spirit. So what we're saying there is the very bond of love between that exists between the Father and the Son is shared with us. And that life begins in us through the sacrament of baptism. In some sense, then, baptism is the beginning of heaven for us here on earth. Because in heaven, we will share the life of the Trinity forever. We will share that Spirit, that life of the Trinity forever in heaven. And already right now here, we are beginning to share in that through the life-giving waters of baptism. Baptism also makes us members of the church. And as we know, it removes any sin that might exist in us because we are thrust into the mystery of the dying and rising of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because to be a member of the church is to be a member of the body of Christ. And so, as members of the body of Christ, we become part of that life-giving death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I can expect maybe there would be some here might be thinking this morning, well, why do I need to listen to about baptism? You know, I baptized my children are raised, it's over. No. Baptism is a lifetime sacrament. What begins in baptism, you and I are called to live out for the rest of our lives. And if we do not understand what baptism is all about, we really can't understand what the Christian life is all about. Because the Christian life is living out these baptismal promises. That's why the church asks us to renew our baptismal promises every Easter. You recall that every Easter, in place of the creed, we have the renewal of baptismal promises. The church wants us to renew that commitment to reject Satan, to reject all his works and all his empty promises. The church wants us to reprofess our faith in this God who is Father and who is Son and who is Holy Spirit. Now, baptism must always be a sacrament of faith. You know, for an adult, it does no good to be baptized if one does not believe in Christ Jesus. We have to believe in Christ in order for baptism to be a saving event in our lives. And so, always when we're preparing adults for baptism, what we are striving to do is lead them to a faith in Christ Jesus our Savior, so that when they enter those waters of baptism, they are making a commitment of faith to live their lives in unity with Christ Jesus. And that is a commitment not for a day, but for a lifetime. Now, for a child, it's a little different. You know, when we baptize a little baby, that baby has no faith. And so what is happening there is we are relying on the faith of the parents. That those parents are making a commitment, they are going to form this child in the faith. That's why the church is asking us to do pre-baptismal instructions, to make sure that those parents know what it is that they're committing themselves to. And that's why we as priests or deacons are told that if we don't see a realistic hope that those parents will raise those children in the faith, then we are to delay baptism. To delay baptism until the moment we think, yes, there's a chance that those parents are going to teach this child to know Christ Jesus so that this child can come to faith in Christ. Baptism begins a life of oneness with Christ Jesus. We are incorporated into Christ, St. Paul says in his letter to the Romans. We become members of Christ Jesus, Paul teaches us in his letter to the Corinthians. Now, I like to compare baptism in a way to marriage. Let me try to explain that. When a man and a woman get married, they commit themselves to a life of oneness. You know, we say they are one body. Now, you and I know that that's a lifetime process. Just because they've taken their vows and said yes to each other, I do to each other, we know that that union is something that has to be worked out over days and weeks and months and years. That they will spend the rest of their lifetime striving to become more and more one with each other. Now, baptism is something like that in our relationship with Christ Jesus. We are born into Christ on the day that we are baptized. But we are called to spend the rest of our lives growing into oneness with Christ. That's what the Christian life is all about. Growing into a deeper oneness with Christ Jesus so we can share more fully in the life of the Trinity. And that's something we do day in and day out as we strive to grow more and more into oneness with Christ Jesus. That's why we have Eucharist. The Eucharist shares with us the body and blood of Christ so that the life of Christ can be deepened in us and that we can be drawn more and more into this mystery of Christ Jesus. That's what we are to do as Christians, to live out each day our baptism. And that's why I say if one doesn't understand baptism, one can't really understand the Christian life. And I know from doing pre-baptismal interviews now for, I don't know, 12 years maybe, hundreds of interviews, that our understanding of baptism as a Catholic community needs to be strengthened. So often, there is a lack of understanding of what this sacrament is all about. One of the things that is important here, if I am going to have the life of Christ in me, then I must be trying to live a life of love. Because if I have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and if the Holy Spirit is the bond of love between the Father and the Son, then I have that bond of love within me. And how can that happen if I am living a life centered on myself? If I am always thinking about what I want, what I need, what makes me feel good, what will make me happy, I can't have the life of the Spirit within me. Essential to our living the Christian life is that we live a life not focused on ourselves, but focused on others. Wasn't that the example that Jesus gave us? He led a life not focused on what he wanted, what make him feel good. But he led a life, focused. I'm still struggling with what I did last Sunday. He led a life focused on what he could do for others. And basically what he could do to save others, to bring others to a sharing in the life of God. I'd like to read just a bit from this catechism. I don't know if you're familiar with this one. This is what the United States Catholic Catechism for Adults. It came out maybe 3, 4, 5 years ago, I'm not sure. It was written by the American bishops. It's modeled somewhat on the catechism of the Catholic Church that came out from the Vatican, but it's written in a little different style and a little bit simpler to read. And I want to read some passages from this. It says, in baptism, the Holy Spirit moves us to answer Christ's call to holiness. We are asked to walk by the light of Christ and to trust in his wisdom. We are invited to submit our hearts to Christ with ever deeper love. Jesus is clear about the high ideals to which he invites us. And we have three scripture quotes here. One is from Matthew, where it says, be perfect, just as the Heavenly Father is perfect. One from Luke, be merciful, as your Father is merciful. And one from John, love one another, as I have loved you. That is what it means to be living the Christian life, to work on that. Be perfect as our Father, to be merciful as our Father, to love as our God loves. Jesus preached holiness of life to everyone without exception. Now that's an important point, because sometimes we have a feeling, well, holiness is just for those church people. You know, maybe for those nuns or those priests. But holiness is meant to be for all of us. We are all called to be holy. That's the call we receive in baptism. In baptism, we are cleansed of all sin, we are made partakers of the divine nature, and we are truly sanctified. Our goal now is to hold on to this gracious act of sanctification that we have received from Christ. And that's what we try to do as we go through life, to maintain that holiness and to grow in holiness. Then a little later it says, living out one's baptism is a lifelong responsibility. Growing in holiness and discipleship involves a willingness to continue to learn throughout one's whole life about the faith and how to live it. That's why adult education, adult formation is so essential. We have to constantly be learning about this faith of ours and what it means to follow Christ Jesus. It also involves a willingness to support and encourage others who share the faith and who are committed themselves to an ongoing process, a conversion of heart and mind. And this conversion results in the holiness to which we are called. Now, there's a couple very practical points I want to mention. And one of those is the time of baptism for a child. Increasingly, I am finding children being brought for baptism after 6 months, 8 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. But I'm also having, more frequently than I want, another experience. And that is the experience of children dying without baptism. And then that's always a very sad moment. I mean, the death is sad. But then another pain is, I did not baptize this child. And I've had more than one request after the child's been dead several hours, several days, that I would go baptize the child. Well, I can't baptize a child that is not alive. Sacraments are always sacraments for the living. What the church is asking of us is that children be baptized within the first weeks after birth. If that were being done, we would have a lot less of that sadness of the death of unbaptized children. Now, some may say, well, we got to go to classes, we got to do this, we got to do that. The time of pregnancy can be a time of preparation for baptism also. A time when the parents are getting ready to baptize that child. Another point I want to talk about on a practical level is godparents. Now, in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, that is the one that comes from the Vatican, it says, godparents must be firm believers, able and ready to help the newly baptized on the road to Christian life. Now, so often what has happened in the past is, well, you know, I asked my brother to baptize one child, and I got another brother I haven't asked him yet, so I'm going to ask him to be the sponsor for the next child. Well, does Brother Sam even go to church? Does Brother Sam live the Christian life? You know, baptism is not, or being a godparent is not about who I give an honor to. It's about who can provide an example of Christian living for this child of mine. I remember one time long ago, it was before we did all the classes and all that. Found out after the baptism that one of the people that was a godparent was a drug seller, well known in the community for selling drugs and for being a pimp. And yet he was a sponsor at baptism. We need to have sponsors who can model what it means to be a Catholic. That's why I insist that our sponsors be married. If they're married, that they're married in the church. Because if they're not married in the church, they can't be receiving the sacraments. They're not to go to Eucharist. They're not to go to confession. Or if they're cohabiting outside of marriage, they're not to be sponsors. Once again, they're not living the Catholic life. How can they be witnesses of that life to children? When adults bring children to be baptized, they commit themselves to form the children in the faith. It's one of the first things the priest asks as he baptizes. Do you understand your obligation to form these children in the faith? And parents do this, first of all, by their example. The example of their lives. Secondly, they do it by what they teach them. But the example is the important thing. Do they see their parents living Christian life? To sum up, baptism gives us a share in the life of God. Baptism is a lifetime project, in a sense. We begin that relationship with Christ Jesus. That relationship is to grow throughout our lives. And then when we enter eternity, we live in that relationship forever, sharing in the very life of God Himself.